Thanks for connecting with Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information. Coming up next on Pod Topics, you'll hear our Moving Business Forward podcast, focusing on businesses and organizations in the Chattanooga area. Here's a preview of our conversation with Max Poppel, the co-founder of The Crash Pad, an Uncommon Hostel, and the Flying Squirrel Restaurant and Bar.
We love Chattanooga, and that's the one thing we found starting out here. If you show that you have a genuine love and want to do something for the benefit of Chattanooga, everybody here will support you, and that's not just Joe Blow coming out, but it's there are a lot of foundations around here that one had a big hand in Main Street revitalizing it, and we were able to cold email the head of it and get a meeting, and we're like, hey, we don't want your money, but here's our idea. We know you're very vested in this neighborhood. What do you think? Loves it. And you speak to his Blythe Bailey, who becomes our architect, and then just all the dominoes start falling, but it's everybody wants to help if you're here to do something for Chattanooga. So I am proud that we're trying to help elevate the city.
Welcome back to Moving Business Forward from Pod Topics. Thanks for joining us for the fifth installment in our series that is dedicated to sharing perspectives and insights from the leaders and decision makers in the Chattanooga area. As we've shared with you in our previous episodes, we're placing the spotlight on the people who are meeting the challenges they face to keep their respective businesses and organizations moving forward during these changing times. As you heard in the opening, this episode of Moving Business Forward will feature Max Poppel, the co-founder of The Crash Pad, an Uncommon Hostel, and the Flying Squirrel Restaurant and Bar. More than a decade ago, an interest in rock climbing and other outdoor sports activities drew Max Poppel to Chattanooga. Max quickly developed a love for the area and what it has to offer for outdoor enthusiasts. As you'll hear during our interview, Max and his business partner, Dan Rose, identified an opportunity to start what became The Crash Pad, an Uncommon Hostel, in 2011. The development of The Crash Pad serves as part of the revitalization taking place within Chattanooga's South Side. In 2013, Max and Dan took the leap to build the Flying Squirrel Restaurant and Bar, in addition to their overall business operation that's located just off Main Street. For this edition of Moving Business Forward, Greg Thompson, the executive producer of Pod Topics, made a visit to the Flying Squirrel to talk with Max on what he has seen over the past 10 years since launching his business ventures in Chattanooga. As we now take you to the interview, Greg sat down with Max in the loft area of the Flying Squirrel.
First of all, Max, thanks for being on Moving Business Forward, and it's great to be here inside the Flying Squirrel.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for coming down.
For those who may not know, tell us a little bit about the history of the Flying Squirrel and the Crash Pad.
Sure, yeah. Flying Squirrel is our neighborhood bar and restaurant over here on South Side off of Main Street. It really grew out of that other idea of the Crash Pad, which is our uncommon hostel. Tried to take the best of the traditional hostel model, namely the affordability and communal nature, blend that with more of the style, cleanliness, charm of a boutique hotel, put it nice and centrally located, and give the people a great place to stay. So we also started as a slant towards an outdoor base camp, all the outdoor enthusiasts coming through town, but we just ended up with an affordable and secure, centrally located place so people can come to town and not spend all their money on their hotel.
I've been back in Chattanooga since 1986.
I've seen
a lot of changes during that time. For those who may not know where you guys are located,
sure.
Let's talk about where you're located, because yeah. I want to go back to what I just mentioned about being here since 1986 yeah. and all the changes that have happened in Chattanooga, particularly in this area.
Sure. So we're in, I guess, what they call South Side of downtown. Main Street, close to the Main and Market intersection. It was very different when we got here for our businesses, which was about 10, 11 years ago. My business partner and I moved here in 05, so we kind of caught the tail end of a lot of this downtown revitalization. Love this place. But have heard of how far it had come, especially since the 80s. So, and again, this neighborhood in particular was very different when we opened up. Not as much going on. There were a few key restaurants and other hangout spots that were over here, but since a bunch of other people have moved into the neighborhood and really made it more of a nightlife destination with lots of great food.
Well, you guys are part of that continued revitalization, making this area the place to be.
Well, I think we get too much credit for that, but yes, we got here at a fortunate time. We found a forgotten block, just a block north of Main Street, and yeah, it was great timing. There were a lot of people who were focused on Main Street at the time and trying to revitalize it, so we were able to just kind of ride that wave, and then a lot of others came on board as well. So the Choo Choo did next door, opening up their whole, what was their back service alley, and is now Station Street, just an amazing destination.
So let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned the Crash Pad. Let's talk a little bit about that concept.
Sure.
And for those of us who are not familiar with.
Yeah, Hostel. Yeah, hopefully you haven't seen that movie. That movie ruined our industry. It's all about torturing the people at the hostel. So
okay,
that's a little context.
I'll skip that one.
Yeah, a little context for the listeners who didn't know that, and yeah, don't waste your time. So fighting that perception battle, we do not have any torture. Revenue has not had to force us to do that yet. Hostel, it came out of Europe basically as an affordable way for school groups to be traveling way back in the day, focus on more kind of communal shared bunk areas, shared bathrooms. That's what evolved into the modern hostel. And again, our men's and women's bathrooms replaces everything from what we call our super bunks. Tried to take the traditional bunk bed, but made it out of wood, and it's pretty glorious, so we had to call them super bunks instead of just bunk beds. We had some private rooms, then we do have a full one bedroom, one bathroom suite as well.
So when you guys came in here, we're sitting in this beautiful space here at the Flying Squirrel. It looks like it's new construction.
Yep.
Was the hostel also new construction as well?
It was. When we got this property, there were two structures on it. One of them looked good from the outside, but inside had to come down. The other one was a little triplex that looked very rough on the outside, but had some good bones. We looked at trying to save that and do the hostel concept in there. It just didn't work space-wise. So that house, we tried to save two of the adjoining beautiful brick walls that we were going to brace them, mount them with solar panels, have that be the outside living room. But as we were in construction and trying to remove the back porch from the back wall fell over. 100-year-old building, mortar turned to dust. For safety's sake, had to be knocked down. So that was unfortunate, because once we got rid of some drywall in there, we actually uncovered these freestanding chimneys that were amazing. We just had this really cool, like, brick ruin feeling to it.
Did you get pictures?
We do, yes. Yeah. Swing on by. We've got a book over in the lobby that charts the entire progress from the houses to what it is now.
Were you able to keep some of that?
Yeah, we diverted 99% of that from the landfill. The only thing that left was some asbestos-filled plaster that had to be remediated. Otherwise, tons of beautiful brick that we were able to reuse in that pavilion that we rebuilt in the footprint, and a lot of beautiful wood that went into our countertops and beds and other fixtures around. And then anything that couldn't be used was chopped up and used as fill on site.
Now, to take on a project like that, do you have a background in construction?
Or no, we were a couple of young idiots who didn't know any better. So we found a great architecture team who helped us try to find great builders and really leaned on the strengths of others.
What did you learn through the process of building these two structures and establishing the crash pad as well as the Flying Squirrel?
What a big question. The one thing that really stood out was after the construction, all of a sudden you have these businesses that know you need to run operations forever. And that was a mind shift. Really enjoyed the developing and the building part. But then once it gets into the daily nitty gritty, figuring all that stuff out, it's a hostel and a bar. I had no experience here. My business partner had waited tables. So a little bit of experience, but never in the bartending management, any of that stuff. And again, for me, then the largest learning curve was managing people, which I had never done before. So I'd recommend doing that before starting. A business.
So you had not owned a business, run a business. This was just a concept that you had.
And we moved here for the rock climbing and had a bunch of people coming, friends, acquaintances staying with us as they rolled through town. So again, the idea of Crash Pad started out as a campground out by some of the climbing modeled after Camp 4, the Miguel's, a couple of iconic campgrounds. Miguel's in particular, middle of nowhere Kentucky, but there's amazing climbing around there, so it was a campground, kind of expanded into this like climber central, or it was a little pizza place, and now it's known and people go there. So we were shocked that Chattanooga, with the wealth of climbing that we have so close to city proper, just didn't have anything, be it a campground or the hostel. Again, started as a climber campground, but eventually evolved to target all the outdoor groups. A campground out by some of the climbing was not as great an idea as, well, if we move downtown, then we could potentially do a hostel and have that great location. One of the keys to a hostel is location, from what we've seen.
So I'm fascinated by this. This is something was obviously a passion for you guys, yeah. And you wanted to do it. But then you get into the realities, building these buildings and then running a business. Talk about that a little bit.
So starting with Crash Pad, where we still have 3.5 employees over there. When we started, my business partner, Dan, and myself, it was the two of us plus a third who eventually became our first GM. But that to say, it was a lot more manageable in that we were in there doing stuff, learning and creating the systems as we went, but also we were the ones doing it, not forcing other people to do it. We opened in 2011 at Crash Pad, 2013 over at the Squirrel. So after being open at Crash Pad a little bit, Dan and I needed to shift our focus over here to building another building. building and figuring that operation out. So we pulled back and brought on a couple other people. And so again, a team of three and a half was running CrashPad. And then we flipped Squirrel when it finally opens, and we basically have 10 times the employees overnight, and it's a lot more complex. And that one we did bring in Ringers, our initial bar manager, Sanders, who is now our GM and has also transitioned into executive chef at the time. So we knew we wanted to have a good bar program. We knew we wanted to have a good food program. We knew that Dan and I could not accomplish that. We definitely hired those positions out from the start to help build that and then build the teams around it. And here we are many years later.
I've heard this a lot, and it sounds like you've embraced the philosophy of, I know what I want to do, I have a vision, but when it comes to, as you said, having food, running a bar, doing all this, that you go out and find people that are smarter than you, that, and that's no offense to you or anything.
No, that's how we've learned long ago that we know, and we're much better off hiring for the stuff we don't know, so that's what we do.
I'm sure there's an interesting story about how you came to name this place the Flying Squirrel, so share that with us.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on your definition of interesting. It's not what you expect, we'll put it like that. So the name The Crash Pad came from not just a place to sleep, but the double entendre with a key piece of bouldering or rock climbing equipment for smaller rocks that are on the ground, no ropes, is a crash pad. It's a portable mattress that you fold up, carry out on your back, and you put it down. Between that and spotters, you can mitigate the risks out there. So crash pad, ooh, fancy, funny.
Kind of interesting that you would name it that when you're going into a small business. There's a lot of risk in that to actually name it the crash pad, and for something that is actually mitigating risk, that's a real interesting name.
I know, right? So bring that up because when we were initially concepting Flying Squirrel, it wasn't called that. We were thinking it would be called High Gravity, namely after high gravity beer, the kind of higher alcohol and usually more interesting, and again, 10 years ago, less prevalent. Just really delicious beers, some really amazing beer bars in other cities, and we wanted to be able to bring that here. And to go with that, we had the idea of the logo, again, for the name High Gravity, being like a base jumping guy with like one of those wing suits. And so we sat down with the designer who we worked with to make Crash Pad logo, and Dan sketched out our little base jumping guy. Designer basically said, what the heck is that, a flying squirrel? And we're like, no, but okay. So in idiocy, we were born.
What a cool way to have inspiration, though.
Dan's mom begged him not to name the place after a rodent, but we went with it anyway.
You're listening to Moving Business Forward from Pond Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information. Let's take you back to our conversation with Max Poppel, the co-founder of The Crash Pad, an uncommon hostel, and the Flying Squirrel restaurant and bar.
Let's go back to March of 2020. The whole world shuts down for a little while.
So mid-March, we had to fire our entire staff, which was terrible, but we had to shut down both businesses. About 6 weeks later, we got that first round of PPP funding, which at the time, it was use it or lose it within that first 8 weeks, and you had to primarily use it on payroll. So that basically means you got to get up and running. So we got up and running real quick. That was, beginning of May then. I'm at Flying Squirrel. We did remain closed an extra month over at Crash Pad. We'll get back to that. But we opened up over here doing mostly to-go and delivery, which we have never done before. So it's like we're back running a restaurant, but you're basically recreating all of your systems from ground up.
But the experience of raising both these businesses from the ground up, you guys learned on the fly doing it. And did that help you?
Sure. And I mean, it mainly got back to we had a wonderful staff with us that we had to fire everybody, but almost everybody came back on board. And those are the people that really helped us figure out all this new stuff and get the operation to where it needed to be. And then at the time, there wasn't any indoor dining. Then it went to distancing and 50% capacity, and it eventually just kind of got back to in the swing of things over here. And then over next door at Crash Pad, you wouldn't think communal living would be very great, so we actually converted half of our bunk spaces to be walled off private rooms with the bunk bed in them. So did a little construction, and we have another bed type over there.
You were talking about those early days of repositioning yourself as the takeout. Talk about that a little bit, and were there times when you thought, maybe this isn't going to happen?
Well, just because we opened didn't mean we were very busy or made any money, so it was very slow going to begin with. Shout out to Dinner Delivered. They are a locally based delivery company in a sea of large corporations out there. So they were a large part. They were a great partner. They're really good at what they do. They've got a great platform to get us out there. Then it's getting the word out. A lot of people did want to come out and support us and do it the way they can. So we had a little to-go food stand thing going on.
Talk a little bit about the local company. Again, the name of it was?
Dinner delivered, yeah.
It sounds like they are very key to those steps forward. What made you choose to work with a local company, and what kind of difference did that make for you?
I mean, they were just really the best all around, aside from the fees. I mean, primarily you can get them on the phone anytime you want, or you can email them. They actually reply. It's not some big corporate inbox where everything gets lost for days or longer. So we tried to talk to some of the larger ones, Uber Eats and others. We just wouldn't get a call back. They were swamped because everybody in the world was switching to delivery. But and I'd also been familiar with Dinner Delivery. They've been around for years, and I've used them personally to get food here, and they've just always been great. So of course we wanted to help support local, and again, they were the best all around.
Going through that process, what kept you guys going?
We had to get open and do something. Again, we had this large pot of government money that we had to spend and spend properly on payroll in a certain amount of time, so we kind of had no choice. Otherwise, that free money turns into a giant loan that businesses lost revenue forever, but then they come out of it with a whole bunch more debt. That's not an ideal situation.
Did you feel like if you kept working at it, going through the steps, doing what you could, that you were going to come out on the other side?
Yeah, we did. It was a very uncertain time for sure, and it was slow going to begin with, but everything started trending up. We built this building to be here 100 years, so we've got a very long-term view on this, and we're here to try to make it work how we can.
I think you know, and most people who are listening know, that when it comes to small businesses, the rate of failure in restaurants, and you guys had made it well beyond those milestone markers, but there are a lot of restaurants, a lot of businesses that didn't make it out on the other side of that. When you look back at where you guys are today, what are your thoughts about what you've been through over the last year, year and a half?
Mostly just thankful. This wouldn't have worked if we didn't have such support from this community and coming out and everybody coming here. So we're just eternally grateful for all the wonderful people in this neighborhood and all around who have come out. But yeah, we've got a great base of regular loyalists. We couldn't do it without them.
When were you able to go to 100%, and what has been the response?
Sometime late 2020 we went full once all the restrictions were gone. For a while occupancy restrictions were gone, but there was still distancing and our tables are bolted in place, so that kind of forced our hand on closing some of the tables. But eventually we got back to open 100%. We are a little bit more spaced out outside now than we were. Everybody knows the decision they're making when they want to go out to a restaurant. I think people having stayed away for months to however long they did before they were comfortable, they were ready to get out, and people are back out again and wanting to live life.
Well, I think now we've had rounds of vaccinations, there's boosters, there's enough information out there that people, like you said, can make informed decisions and do what they want. When you look at going through that experience, what did you guys learn from it as managers and as an organization?
Just thankful that we had great people here to help support us at all levels and help keep pushing this thing through every day.
There are some really great restaurants in Chattanooga, the ones that have come up in the last 10, 15 years. And this is definitely one of those must-go-to spots. What, in your opinion, makes the Flying Squirrel unique?
It's great service with great food and drink and a great atmosphere. And you shouldn't say great so much because that sounds terrible, but, and again, none of that is like secret or proprietary, but it's like you nail all those every day. You're doing really special things, and it's just so easy to drop the ball on any one of those fronts. But if you can consistently operate with the service, atmosphere, and product, that's what does it.
I know that in these times, it's hard to keep staff. It's hard to keep good staff. Can you talk about the staff that you have? Because it sounds to me from the conversation we've had that you value your staff.
Yeah, of course.
They're very good. Can you talk about what makes them special?
They're very good at their job, and we believe in giving them the space to do their job, not trying to micromanage them. It comes down to the culture here and how we run our businesses, and that's what hopefully makes it feel like more of a home and a place that they don't want to leave. And it's just making sure that they are all making money and getting what they need out of the place.
I know that running a business, because I do it myself, is a challenge. And it's something that just every day you gotta do stuff. Every minute of the day, you got to be on top of things. I can't imagine running a restaurant, running basically a hotel, and doing both of those things.
I also got married and had two kids in the last, like, 8 years, too. So, yeah, there have been many things going on.
Ages of your kids now?
7 and 4.
That's a lot of energy.
Shout out to my wife, Katie, for doing such a great job taking care of them.
When you look at that, are you having as much fun or more fun than you had when you started out this?
I guess more fun now. There's a lot more going on, but it's everything that I signed up for and wanted, and we seem to find the right balance, and yeah, so far it's going well.
Do you look back and pinch yourself sometimes? Because you talk about it started with three friends or climbers.
Well, you should read our original business plan, which didn't have anything in there, so, or anything remotely like what we ended up with. But yeah, so it's come a long way from the idea, and yeah, it is surreal to think about sometimes.
I think it's really cool that you want this building, this business, to be here in 100 years. So let's look out 5-10 years in the future.
Yeah.
For Flying Squirrel, for Crash Pad, and for this area, what do you see?
Man, I'm sure all this area will keep growing and filling in. It has been, and now it's expanding in all directions. Other parts of downtown, from the Bend down to that U.S. Steel. Like, there's a lot of land still around here that can create other wonderful zones and just make Chattanooga an even better city and more desirable to get more people down here and more for everybody.
And that's the thing. I go back to when I came back to town and I grew up here, and to see this area pop up with things that you would see in, say, Asheville, or you can name a whole bunch of cities that have
other cities you want to go visit.
Yeah. And now, how does that make you feel that you are a part of something that people from around here want to visit, people from other cities want to visit?
It's cool, but my business partner and I are not very ego-driven. I'm happy that we were able to contribute to making Chattanooga a better place, but again, we don't kid ourselves that, like, we made this neighborhood or any stuff like that. We get a lot of undue for that because there was a lot going on, and just really had some lucky timing with where we showed up.
And that's not necessarily what I was going towards, was that you are a part of this. As you mentioned, the choo-choo's been revitalized.
Yeah, we love Chattanooga, and that's the one thing we found starting out here. If you show that you have a genuine, like, love and want to do something for the benefit of Chattanooga, everybody here will support you. And that's not just like Joe Blow coming out, but it's like there are a lot of foundations around here that one had a big hand in Main Street revitalizing it, and we were able to cold email like the head of it and get a meeting, and we're like, hey, we don't want your money, but like, here's our idea. We know you're very vested in this neighborhood. What do you think? Loves it. And you speak to his Blythe Bailey, who becomes our architect, and that just all the dominoes start falling. But it's like everybody wants to help if you're here to do something for Chattanooga. So I am proud that we're trying to help elevate the city.
As you were doing this, can you talk about some of the resources that you access?
Well, that business planning, it was Springboard. Now it's out of CoLab. They've got a business planning class, like an 8-week thing where you go focus on different sections. And that not only was useful for putting an actual business plan on paper, as much as we didn't end up with the vision that was in there, but also we met our lawyer through that, and you make other just connections through that. And again, the whole city is so kind of connected and wants to see you do well that if you need anything, you can ask, and people are generally pretty willing to try to help you out.
Is there anything else that we missed? We're sitting here and enjoying looking at the dog park. They've actually been very quiet during this.
It's a little rowdy during doggy daycare during the day sometimes.
Yeah.
But I mean, this whole thing was, again, that's a perfect example. I wasn't here a few years ago. Geez, maybe 3 or 5 years has been there now. But this neighborhood keeps popping up with so much fun stuff to do, and there's just so many more people out and about during the day. And it's just a lot of fun to be here right now.
What advice would you give to somebody who they think that they could step forward, whatever it is? Maybe they're looking at a restaurant, maybe they're looking at some business, that they've got a vision.
Learn to manage people. We went over that briefly, or my lack of doing that. That would have helped a lot. Know your numbers. You should know what your industry, your target should be, but you should also understand your, like, P&L. It took us like 3 to 4 years to start using a P&L. So we had a very steep learning curve on that as well. You know, we were fortunate that sales cures ales, they say. So classic entrepreneurs managing out of the bank account. We were fortunate that we had some hype in the beginning and we were staying busy and we were able to pay all our bills. But then you start looking at the P&L, which doesn't have much P at the bottom of it. We're doing a lot of things right, but not taking some of it to the next level. So learning that was very important for us in our journey. And so, yeah, know your numbers.
You mentioned about managing people. So you had never done that.
Yeah.
What did you learn early on, and what made you better at managing people?
Was our initial third person who became our GM. Shout out to Al Smith, poor guy, the crucible of learning that we had there. I don't know, it's hard to sum it all up. I just like, I don't know, managing people. Same thing as like being a parent, except you can have a little bit more ultimate authority, whereas like when you have employees and you try to wield that and then they don't like it, or it just leads to other things. I don't know, it's an experience unto itself, and there is a balance of being able to do it and be the one who needs to say, no, this needs to get done.
Sounds like to do it with empathy. If you have empathy and patience and you're able to direct people, they can follow you and do it with respect too.
It took us a while to learn our kind of leadership, on our framework on leadership, like provide the vision, provide the tools needed to do it, and then get out of the people's way, let them do it, and then recognize and reward performance.
And I imagine, too, when you look at where you were, what you were trying to do, you guys were probably going 150 miles an hour all the time.
Yeah, we were creating systems on how to run a restaurant from day one when we opened, so it probably took us a lot longer to get to a lot of things, like reservations we didn't do for like 7 years, which was silly, but now we do that. So yeah, shout out to go to our website and get a reservation now. I will also say up here in our little couchy loungy mezzanine area, we're getting rid of all the couchy loungies and replacing them with more of these proper dining height tables. So people seem excited. We've done a little hybrid here in the middle, and we'll finish that out. So we'll have some more great places to come sit and eat comfortably when it gets a little cold and you're not wanting to be outside. But we still do have a heated patio as well if you're not wanting to come inside, so come check us out.
Anything else you want to share?
No, thanks again. Appreciate the time and helping to spread the word on our businesses.
That closes out our visit with Max Poppel at the Flying Squirrel for this edition of the Moving Business Forward podcast from Pod Topics. We'd like to thank Max, who is the co-founder of The Crash Pad, an uncommon hostel, and the Flying Squirrel restaurant and bar, for joining us on Moving Business Forward. If you would like to learn more about The Crash Pad, an uncommon hostel, please visit the following website, crashpadchattanooga.com. That web address again is crashpadchattanooga.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Flying Squirrel restaurant and bar, please visit the following website, flyingsquirrelbar.com. That address again, flyingsquirrelbar.com. In our final moments on this edition of the podcast, we'd like to thank you for listening to Moving Business Forward, a podcast dedicated to bringing you insights and perspectives from Chattanooga area business leaders. We appreciate the tremendous listener response we've received from our podcast releases in 2021, and we have some great guests lined up to bring your way in 2022. Be sure to visit podtopics.com for new episodes of the series. We would like to invite you to subscribe to Moving Business Forward on your favorite podcast platform. You can find Moving Business Forward on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio Podcast, and all other major podcast services. By becoming a subscriber, you'll be notified whenever we post a new episode. And on some of those platforms, you'll also have the opportunity to rate our podcast. Once again, thank you for spending part of your day with us here on Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information.